Good morning, Life Point Church. Will you guys stand with us this morning? We're gonna go ahead and get right into worship. A new song for you guys this morning. It has a very simple message. is that God is constantly moving on our behalf, amen? And when he moves, he's an unstoppable force, hallelujah.
justice roll on like a river. Let worship turn into revival. Lord, lead us back to you.
Hallelujah. Why don't you just worship him this morning? Why don't you cry out this morning? Hallelujah.
Justice roll on like a river. Let worship turn into revival. Lord, lead us back to you. So come, move, let justice roll on like a river.
Let worship turn into revival.
Hallelujah. Father God, we worship you this morning. We lift up our praises to you, God, because you've been good to us, Lord, because you've loved us, because you've proven yourself faithful over and over and over again, God. In the midst of our doubt, in the midst of our struggle, God, when we forget how good you've been, God, you're still working on our behalf, Father. We praise your holy name, God. We worship you this morning, Lord. God, we'd ask that your Holy Spirit would begin to just work in each and every heart this morning, God. God, I ask that there would be no distractions. That this service would just be all about you this morning, God. That we would glorify you in everything we do, God. Not just with our mouths, God, but with our lives. That we would leave changed, God. Hallelujah. At this time, we're going to open these altars. If you have a need, if you just want to meet with God this morning, if you just want to believe for healing, for anything, any situation you have going on, any prayer you might need, we have people who will come up here and pray with you and just be willing to believe with you that God's going to continue to move on your behalf because he's already won the victory for you. Amen.
The ground began to shake, the storm was
Was not to be taken lightly. It can be done. You can do it in a wrong way. I want to make sure we do this right this morning. Amen. And Paul said, if you would judge yourself, if you would take this time to examine your life, when you come to the table of the Lord, I'm going to tell you what I believe. This is not the time that you come and pray for your aunt or your mom. This is the time you and I sit before God himself with his blood and his body represented in front of us and say, God, let me look into my life right now. And whatever's broken, whatever's not right, whatever's going on, the elements in front of you represent what will fix you. The body and the blood. Amen? Well, as we enter 2019, let me tell you, there's no greater way for this church, for us as believers, than to sit at God's table and say, Lord, I need to be made whole. And I need to be washed clean. Amen? So I'm going to give you the opportunity to take some time to examine your life, examine yourself this morning. Paul said it like this on the very night that Jesus was betrayed. He sat with his disciples and he took the bread and he broke it and he gave thanks for it. And he told them, he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you do it." Lord, we do remember you this morning. We remember your body. We receive it today. We thank you. Amen. He then said, he took the cup of the new covenant, which represented his blood. The new covenant is what he made with us. The fact that we no longer had to go to the temple and shed blood of animals and pay away our sins. He said, this blood right here, this cup represents my blood that makes you clean if you proclaim it's my blood. And the promise for us today, listen to me, church, is no matter how you walk through that door, if you sit at his table and proclaim his blood over your life, you can be washed clean this morning. What a promise. What a way to enter a new year. Washed clean by the blood of Jesus. Are you thankful for the blood this morning? Lord, we do thank you for the remission of our sins, God. We thank you that there's still power in the blood of Jesus. Lord, we receive it this morning and we proclaim it to be your blood. Amen. Stand to your feet this morning as we continue to worship. Thank you.
lift up your name. For the blood this morning, why don't you just sing that out on your own? Sing it as a prayer to him this morning. Let him know that you know that there's nothing that you could have done in this world to redeem your own life, but you're thankful for the work that was done on Calvary. Hallelujah. You know, more beautiful to him than our praises, than our singing, than our music is the confession of faith that we know that we have a Savior in Christ. Amen? That his blood can wash us cleaner than anything that we've ever experienced in this life. Can we just sing that one more time? And oh, precious.
The Lord a hand clap of praise, church. I think about that, the song. You can be seated this morning, and I'm going to tell you, yesterday we had a celebration of life service for Tracy Brunson, and at the end of it all, man, people had stories about her life and everything, but the one thing that everyone said was she was redeemed of God. And I'm going to tell you, there's going to come a time in our life where the blood of Jesus is all that's going to, that's all that's going to matter. And we see it. And sometimes I think we miss it. Sometimes we get away from it. But I'm so thankful this morning that we could experience at the table of God, amen, his body and his blood and what that represents in our life. Listen, I'm glad you're here this morning. I just want to welcome you to Life Point Church, our first Sunday of 2019. Wow. Somebody was talking to me the other day about, do you remember when 1999 was going into 2000 and Y2K and all the buckets of rice we hid in our garage in case the thing was about to go? And look how fast time moves. Man, it moves fast. And I'm going to tell you, it's 1 year ago, the 4th of January, that Danny Prater called me about this church. It's been a year. This process has already been a year in moving. So I'm grateful for what the Lord's done here in 2019, amen, or 2018. And I'm excited about what he's going to do in 2019 in your life, in the life of this church, in our church family. So thank you for being here. I just have a couple of announcements I want to run to you real fast. These probably aren't in the bulletin. And I don't want you to get upset when I say a few of them, but it's all good. The Women's ministry is getting ready to kick off 2019 with Pastor Sydney. Oh, hold on a minute. I know it's some things changed there. We had Miss Patricia move over to take over the outreach coordinator. And so women's ministry, my wife Sydney is going to oversee it. Now, the first time they're going to meet is going to be January the 18th and Friday night. That's 7 p.m. Now, I know there's a church prayer that night, but it's all good. You understand what I'm saying? If you want to rather come to church prayer, this is only for women anyway, but there is going to be a women's meeting that night that you're going to be invited to on the 18th, 7 p.m. Also, next Sunday, we're starting two Sunday school classes, okay? I want to talk about one of them real quick. It's called, it's the marriage Sunday school class. It's love and respect is the curriculum we're going through. Now, I say this a lot. Who are the two groups of people that we determine that need help? Married people and parents, right? They need help. And so we want to help you. But this book, and this is the curriculum, Luis Reyes is going to be facilitating the class. But love and respect. Let me ask you a quick question. Women, have you ever said to yourself, I wish my husband would just love me like they do on Hallmark Channel? You know, you ever seen that? That's what we're battling against, guys. Trust me, I know. And we're never going to add up to those guys. Don't worry. But, you know, and these are real questions that married people always ask. This is not troubled people here. I mean, but definitely if you're having problems, we want to invite you to the class. But love and respect, and because the woman needs love, the wife needs love, and guess what the husband needs more than anything? He needs respect. So this is an awesome book. It's going to be an awesome class, love and respect. There's still some spots. All I'm going to ask that you do is sign up at the information desk that's in this 9 o'clock hour that's going to be in the classroom right across from the offices. And then we have our New Life curriculum that we're going through. It's like a New Believers or Foundations class that's going to meet right behind the cafe in that classroom at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning starting next week. Amen? And also we have, starting the 20th of January, I'm excited about this, is our life groups are starting. The place where you can connect monthly outside of the church. I'm going to have all of our life group leaders up here next week, so you'll get to meet them and understand which areas in Broward County you can go in someone's house. Sydney and I are doing one called Married with Children. Okay? And so that's a lot of people, right? But whatever, we're going to meet. Our first meeting is going to be down at Markham Park. We're going to meet at different parks monthly, and we're just going to fellowship together, grow closer together, and be a family of God together. Amen? And so I'm excited about those, and just be mindful of that stuff coming up. And I will say, don't be afraid to get in the Sunday school classes and spend that, invest into your marriage. Amen? Invest into yourself if it's that foundations class. But anyway, I'm going to ask the ushers to come on up, and we'll take up our offering this morning, our tithes. And I just want to remind you, or thank you once again for being faithful. Being faithful through the year, being faithful to God. What a testimony we have at Life Point Church of through all the stuff we've gone through, people are just faithful, and God has worked it all out for us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, today I ask God that you would receive this offering, receive this tithe, God, as pleasing to you. And God, help us not to hold back and to obey your word. God, I know there's people in this room, and you've blessed their life, God. You have poured out the blessing. You have rebuked the devourer. You have opened the windows of heaven, God, and we just want to be found faithful today. Lord, we honor you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Thank you as you give. For the next few moments, we do have guests with us this morning, some missionary guests with us. I'm super excited because 2019, this is what this is for us, just so you know. This is us saying, 2019, we want the year of this church to be in missions. Do you hear what I'm saying? We want missions to be important to us. And so that's why on Sunday mornings, we're going to have our missionaries come through, Penn, Florida missionaries. We want to support them. We're going to support them. You're going to be the first missionary we support this year. Amen? So you get the most money of anybody. Amen. That's how it works, right? But no, it is a time for us as Life Point Church, as we think kingdom-minded, okay? We know Sunrise, we know Broward County, we know we're going to reach these areas, but we have a system through the Assemblies of God to reach the ends of the earth, and it's called our missionaries. And Tom and Phyllis Benegas are with us this morning. They're going to take a few moments and share their heart. They're going to share what they're doing, where they're at, and what God is doing through their ministry, and I'm super excited. They have a table out there. Make sure you stop by and see them and speak to them, shake their hand after the service. Missionaries to Belgium. Tom and Phyllis, would you please come? Give them a warm LifePoint welcome this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor. God bless you. Thank you so much, Pastor. What a joy to be with you all again. We were in this church, it's been a while now, probably the beginning of 2009, but that's been a while ago, hasn't it? But we came into missions late in life. We worked in the district for many, many years and did a lot with student ministry, and we just were sure that we would die being a youth pastor. In fact, I had the music all for my funeral all set up and this teenage band that was going to play for us and all that. But how many know that sometimes God nudges us and pushes us into things maybe we didn't want or we didn't think that that's where we fit or whatever. And I thought that our contribution to missions would be to take students to mission, to different mission fields all around the world. And we did that for, almost 30 years. And I've been all around the world with students. And then also to give money to Speed the Light. That was our big thing here in Penn, Florida. God began to nudge me and say, it's time to make a change. And I just didn't want to do that, you know. But before long, we knew that it was right, and we found ourselves now working in Europe among international churches. God has just done so many incredible things in my life and in these last few years, making it possible for us to be in a place to challenge people with the power of the blood of Christ. Amen. How many know that the world is changing right now? The secularism is basically taking over the West. And if you study anything about church history, you know that there has been powerful moments and then there's been powers of dilution. And right now we're in a moment of dilution. And so what we sang this morning is what we believe. What we sang is what we teach. What we sang is the hope of the world, in fact, this morning, the power of the blood of Christ. Amen. And so as we get going here, this is a Speed the Light car that we received when we first got to Belgium just a couple of years ago. And we had raised money, and I never dreamed that we would ever have a Speed the Light car, but this is a car that we drive all over Europe. And can we go back one, I think, back to our family? Is there a family photo? Yeah, this is our family. I want to introduce you to our family. The big guy here in the middle is our son, and right next to him is our daughter. And they're married, and they have two children. They're both in ministry. Our daughter and her husband are directors of Teen Challenge in Griffin, Georgia. And so we just are so thankful that God is using us in the world today. What we do in Europe is three different things. We work with the Continental Theological Seminary, and we also work with the International Church Network, and we work with the Pentecostal European Fellowship. Now, let's go to the next picture. The next one past this would be Pentecostal European Fellowship. This is an outreach that we had in Kosovo this last summer. And we worked there among Muslim people. We had just the greatest time. Let's go to the next picture. The pastor was the children's pastor during the Serbian War, and he's on this side right here, Pastor Artur. He was a children's pastor, and during the war, because he spoke Albanian, he was a target of the Serbians, and so he had to go underground. And most of the men of Kosovo were murdered during those years because the Serbians had intended to destroy the entire Albanian population. His father is Nick, and his wife. Nick was the first Kosovoan convert of modern times, and he planted this church during the communist years, and so we were able to work with them in Kosovo. And so we do a lot of different outreach opportunities that prevent themselves. The Pentecostal European Fellowship is a group of 55 different Pentecostal groups in Europe that are challenging the world. Let's go to the next slide. This is Continental Theological Seminary. That's where we work. Most of our time is given there, and so I'm the campus pastor in the school. We have chapel every day, and so our challenge is to get every student baptized with the Holy Spirit, and we're just really excited about what God is doing. We have students from 35 nations. And God is just doing some great things here at Continental Theological Seminary. Now, I'd like my wife to share also. Phyllis, would you tell a couple of things about what we do?
When we got to Europe, it didn't take long for us to understand what we were up against. You know, this statistic is mind-blowing to me that of Europe's 750 million people, less than 3% have a personal experience with the Lord. That's a mission field, folks. They need Jesus. So when we get our students at Continental filled with the Holy Spirit, it's for a purpose, because only the Holy Spirit is going to break the spiritual darkness in Europe. And many of our ancestors came from that part of the world, and they need God desperately. In one of our churches that we go to on weekends, every weekend we're in a different country or city in Europe ministering. One lady came up to us after the service. She was from a Flemish church. And she said, "Will you pray for me? I've been in pain for 14 years. Doctors can't help me. Nobody can help. Would you pray for me?" So Tom laid hands on her. I agreed, and we asked the Lord to bring healing to her. We got an email during the week from the pastor through her saying that God healed her that morning. She went back to the doctor, and she was healed. So God is up to something in Europe. I could go on with stories like this. And I want to close with a story, a touching story. We were in Malmo, Sweden, ministering. A lot of contention and heartache in Malmo, and with immigrants, and the city is in unrest. And at our international church there one Sunday morning, a woman came up to me after the service and said, she was a beautiful African woman. She was at least 6'2". I mean, I was looking up to her, and she was beautiful. But she had torment in her eyes. She said, "I'm a Muslim, and I have been tormented day and night with visions of attacks and nightmares of attacks on me." And she said, "The only thing that brings peace to my heart is when I say the name of Jesus." She said, "Will you tell me about this Jesus?" And that morning I got to share with this beautiful Muslim woman the beautiful story of our precious Lord and what he did for us. And when we were finished, I said, "Would you like to receive him today as your Savior?" She said yes. She gave her heart to the Lord. She called her husband. "You've got to hear this. You've got to hear this." He gave his heart to the Lord that morning. And I said, "We need a Bible. They only have a Quran. We need a Bible for these people." And church leaders got Bibles for them. And I said, "If you want to know all about our precious Lord, read the book of John. Start there, and it'll tell you all about him." So God is doing some things in Europe. We're linking arms with many missionaries. There's windows opening of revival here and there. And we ask you to pray with us. We want to be led by the Holy Spirit, anointed by him to speak and go exactly where he chooses and what he wants us to say. Thank you for partnering with us. It means the world to us, for your financial support and for your prayer support. Thank you so much.
Amen. Aren't you excited to be a part of what God's doing around the world? Amen. 2019. Oh, man, I'm believing for big things. I hope to even go to Europe with a team one day. We were there. I'm going to say 2010. I could be way off on this date, but I remember we were in a place called Gutenstein, Austria. I think it was in the foothills of the Alps, in a small home next to a monastery, I believe, was there. And I had the honor to be there, and I know Tom was there, and the Fellowship of International Churches were there. They were having, and so in the backside of this mountain, in the middle of nowhere, I would call it, here these missionaries were gathering, and they were talking about refugees coming into Europe and reaching people, and my eyes were open to this whole deal of what God was doing in that nation. So I'm just telling you, I'm excited, amen. I get excited about the kingdom of God. I do. I hope you do. But I'm excited about your life today, and I'm going to pick up where I left off last week. Does anybody remember where we were last week? As we enter 2019, I talked about this can be the year, this could be the year that God turns it around for you, that God turns it all around for you. I'm believing that for your life. I'm believing that for your family. I'm believing that for the ministry. I'm believing that for Life Point Church. All the things we deal with, that this would be your year. And I'm going to start in Luke chapter 15, verse 18. I want to take a phrase out of there and read it to you. He says, I will arise. I want you to say that this morning. I will arise. I'm going to tell you, it is time for the people of God to arise. Amen. It is time for you and I to arise out of some of the issues in our life. And I'm believing that today, after you leave this place, you're going to say, you're going to look at a situation in your life and you're going to say, no longer are you going to keep beating me down. But I'm going to rise up out of this mess because God has a plan to prosper you this year. 3 John verse 2 through 4 is where we were last week. And I told you we're going to move into stewardship this month and for the next few weeks. And we're going to talk about the different areas of our life that we have to take care of as a believer. But I'll tell you, there's a reason why I'm doing this one first, 2 weeks in a row. Because if you don't get this one right, nothing will be right. If our soul is not right, forget about it. Nothing else will ever be right in our life. And you've seen it, you've experienced it, we've done it, where we've tried to put things into our life when we had wounded souls thinking those things were going to make our life right. And at the end of the day, we wind up losing it. Or the enemy steals it from us. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. How many of you could say in 2019, there are some things I want to prosper in? And be in health. Amen. Just as your soul prospers. Now, I know I talked about that verse last week, but it's so important that I hit it again. Just, I want your soul to begin to prosper this year. And we're going to look at a couple of stories where Jesus addresses the issues that people had. And it was really because the soul was wounded. And what happens is we get down in our soul, we get roots of things, and roots of things come. And this could come from years ago. You know, you see people all the time that are sitting in, even in the church, and they're wounded from something that didn't happen last week. It happened to them when they were a child. Or maybe a parent, when you were growing up, your parents said you were ugly or dumb or you'll never amount to anything. You know, you've heard this stuff before. Hopefully you're not the one saying it. If you are, cut it off real quick. Because I'll guarantee you, if you're going to prosper in your own soul, you have to be careful what comes out of your own mouth. And Jesus addresses some of this stuff. And I would say in order for you to possess the land this year that God has for you, your soul has to be healthy. God, make our soul healthy. Think about communion. Communion is a time where we can know that our soul can be healthy before God. Why? Because the blood of Jesus washes me clean from my sin. And if I don't have the sin, I don't have the guilt that goes with it, I can be washed clean. But he said, I would that you would prosper in all things. And I'm going to talk about some of those things this morning. All those things that prosper as your soul prospers. Who was here last week? We were touching on this stuff. Listen to me. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Let's go there for just a moment. And I'm going to tell you, this is where it gets us right here. This is where I believe we get to the place in our life we can't get past it. He said, pursue peace with all people. Somebody can say amen right there. And no more fighting, no more back talking, no more all this stuff. Pursue peace. And I'm telling you, if we're not pursuing peace with people, our soul's going to pay for it. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Verse 15, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Now think about what he says. Lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. You have the grace of God, but don't fall short in it. Falling short of the grace of God. Now the next part is what I want you to catch. Lest any what? Root. Somebody say root. Some of y'all are going to get a root job this morning. You know what that is, right? Some of the women know what it is. Like you get your, or if you don't do your roots, it shows, right? It's all there, right? I don't know. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause you trouble. Listen to me. I'm going to talk about the root that's in your soul. The root that grows down in our soul of bitterness. Boy, when you and I drink from the cup of bitterness, we're going to be in big trouble. He says it causes trouble. It springs up. Have you ever noticed something in life? And this is a good test you can tell. Things are going good. Things go good. And then all of a sudden it's like, boom, out of nowhere. Out of nowhere, this thing just springs up, steals everything. We've worked hard for it. We've lost our joy. And it's like it's a roller coaster ride in life, up and down. And sometimes it's good. And then it gets us again. Let me tell you, that's not how I believe God has designed us to live. He said that you would prosper in all things. And Jesus illustrates this a few times. And I want to show you a couple of them this morning. That we could attack the thing at the root this morning. That we could get down to the surface we see. The surface we see in people's life. That's why I say be real careful that we don't judge people just on their behavior. Because you don't know exactly what they've been through. You don't know exactly what's been going on in their life. Amen? It's like, you ever had a bad day before? Yeah, but not every day is bad, right? But some days get bad. Some of us are having bad days in 2018 because of what happened to us in 1985. You hear what I'm saying? Because it took a root in your heart. It took root. And listen to me. Think about a child for a moment. The Bible says we're born into sin. We're born into sin. In other words, we came out of our mother's womb with sin in us. And if we don't ever train a child right and leave them to their self, what happens to that child? That root was in them, and that thing grows over time. That thing grows over time. This morning, I'm going to say it like this. We want to kill it at the root. We want to kill it at the root so your soul prospers. 2019 could be the greatest year you ever have, but listen to me. If your soul's not right, you're going to keep going around the same mountain. Keep going around the same, the up and down and up. How many of you are tired of the roller coaster ride in life sometimes, you know? I say this, let's get our soul right. Before we enter into our time of prayer, fasting, believing God for all the stuff in 2019, before we talk about the stewardship issues of our time and finances and all that stuff that we have to do, let's get our soul to prosper. Amen? Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Turn there with me. Starting in verse 12. Now, this is an interesting story. It's actually two stories combined in one. It says, on the next day, they had come out of Bethany, and he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something to eat on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For it was not season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit of you ever again. And his disciples heard it. So in other words, Jesus walks up to this tree. It's this great illustration. There's bearing no fruit. And he cursed the tree. You've heard the story. He cursed the tree. Now the interesting thing about this story is the story stops right there. The story stops right there, and Jesus goes into this whole other section where the Bible says that they enter into the temple. You still with me here? So they came to Jerusalem, and then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares, that's merchandise, through the temple. So let me stop and explain to you what's happening here. Is when he comes to the fig tree, when he comes to the fig tree that's not bearing fruit, although it looked like it was bearing fruit because the Bible says when he saw it, it had leaves on it. Remember that? It said it had leaves on it, so he thought, maybe I can go get fruit. And let me tell you, that is a picture of our lives. It has leaves. The tree on the outside looks good. We're dressing it up. We're putting makeup on it and getting it right. But on the inside is not conducive for our life to bear fruit. And when Jesus looked at the fig tree, he said, no longer will you ever produce fruit. You're done. And there is something that we need to be weary of, that you can only fake it for so long. And it's not that you're faking it. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It's that this, if we could get our soul right, if we could get this root out of us, we would bear the fruit that Jesus wants us to bear. Now, I want you to think about it. As Jesus is talking to the fig tree, he then goes to the temple. And when he walks to the temple, and he does, he's the same illustration. He goes to the temple, and he says, The people are there. You remember me preaching this sermon probably. The people were there. They were this is what they decided. This is what the church decided. Since people have to buy animals, or since people have to have blood sacrifice, let's just start selling animals at the door. Well, then guess what it became? This wonderful business opportunity at the front door of the church. At this wonderful business. And Jesus walked in and he flipped the temple over. I mean, he flipped the chairs over and he said, you have made my Father's house what? A den of thieves is what he called it. But the issue was this. The issue is it was over money. It was over money. Now, I want you to catch this a minute because let me pull it up. 1 Timothy 6:10. Jesus is talking about the root through this whole thing. First, he did the fig tree. He said, no longer. Then he moves right to the temple. And what does he say? For the love of money is a, say it, root. Now, does he say money is a root of evil? No, people have been confused. It's not. But he said what? The love of money. So guess what these Pharisees were doing outside the temple? Because they loved money more than they loved people, they said, you're going to have to pay your way to get in. You're now going to have to pay your way to get to redemption. So where did Jesus kill it? At the root. He said, let me tell you something. This money, what I have for you is free. And if you, we won't read it, but this in that story, the Bible says that the blind people and the widows started rejoicing at that spot. Why? Because they never could get in. They never had access because money wouldn't allow them to get in. You with me this morning? God wants us to kill something at the root today. And let me tell you who has roots in their souls. Everybody in this room. And depending on what you feed is what will grow in your life. How many of you have ever experienced it? You know, those things in life that if we're not careful, man, we'll begin to feed it or let things in. And what begins to happen? You know, our soul begins to pay for it. And on the outside, we look good. We look like we're bearing fruit. We look like we got leaves. But on the inside, we're what? A mess. In 2019, for you to prosper in all areas of your life, I'm going to say it again. God wants your soul to prosper first. See, with a prospering soul, I love this right here. With really and truly with a prospering soul, it don't matter what happens to you in 2019. That's why we stand and sing the song. What does he say? It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. And let me tell you, there are people living in the United States. There are people living in Europe. There are people living all across the world looking for their soul to be well today. Looking for their souls to be well. We've got to take care of our soul. Amen. He illustrates this root problem to the church when he flips over that money table. He says, don't let that root be in the church. And I'm with him. I'm with him. But verse 20 is real interesting. Verse 20 is real interesting. Let me pull it up here. Because now he's left the church and they're back on the road. But watch what happens. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree. This is the next day. They came back by the tree, and the fig tree was dried up from the roots. This was all about an illustration about the root of what's in our life and what was in the church. And Jesus said, if you want to make things right, listen, he could have walked over there and chopped the tree down. He could have cut the tree down. I would illustrate it like this. It's like trimming weeds. What happens if you trim weeds? They're going to grow back. What happens if you cut your hair? Some of you. Some of you, if you cut your hair, it grows back. Some of you, not so much. And see, here's what I think we do sometimes is we just cut stuff down and we try to trim it up to make it look good and sound good so people will think we're good, but on the inside, the root is still there. And so sometimes God will allow you and I to get to the bottom, somebody say the bottom of life, and then he'll say, now we can deal with the root issue. Now we can deal with the root issue. And I would ask you this morning, what's the root issue that God needs to clean up as we enter 2019 for you to prosper in every area of your life? I mean, you know, we can come in here on Sunday and dress up and look good and smile and say the same things at the door. Hey, I'm good. God bless you. But on the inside, what has happened to you in your life that has caused the root, he said, the root of bitterness. And I would venture to say everybody in this room has dealt with that root of bitterness in your life. And if we're not careful, how many of you can honestly say, boy, that thing tries to raise itself up in your life? I can tell you it doesn't mind. It'll try to raise itself up, and I have to be very careful that I keep that root pulled out, keep that mess out. Don't allow things into my life that feed that root that's going to grow that tree that Jesus had cursed. You with me? Let's flip over to Luke's story real fast. Dealing with the root. How many of you this morning can say, God, I got a root of something in my life. I want it removed. And listen, it can be anger. It can be fear. It can be health. It can be whatever. Poverty. You know, some people have a root of poverty in their life. Some people were raised by parents that taught them poverty is the way God wants you to live. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I'm telling you, God wants you to, and I know it has to be a lie because God wants you to what? Prosper in all things. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be the most wealthy person, but he said you shall prosper in all things. And I guarantee you, I know people in my life, and I'm pretty much one of them. I prosper financially when I lay down at night and I know everything's taken care of. Amen? And I know that all my bills are paid, my kids are fed, all my stuff is in line, and I can sleep well at night. For some people in this room, your prosperity is going to come through your health. You've been given a message that, hey, this you got some poor health. Well, let me tell you, God wants you to be healthy. And I'm not saying because your soul is not well, that's why you're sick, but I'm saying this. When your soul gets right, you're going to make it. And I always tell people, be careful. And you can see it sometimes. People get sick, and what's the first place they stop going to? They stop coming to church. And I'm not trying to be hard on anybody. I'm not saying that. But I've seen people this year that have been very sick that came to church, that raised their hands. That means their soul as well. You understand what I'm saying? But I've seen some people when they get sick, they don't want to come to church. Why? Because sometimes the illness will get your soul. And you're like, you know, I don't even want to be around. I understand that. And I have sympathy for that. But I'm telling you, man, our soul can prosper in 2019. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 11. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to the father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them his livelihood. Now, you know this is the story of the prodigal son, but I'm going to show you this morning how the roots of some things we have in our life can mess people up. Remember the first verse I gave you this morning was Luke 15, 18. He said what? I will arise. I will arise. I want you to say it with me this morning. I will arise. Well, let me tell you this. And there's some dysfunction in this family right off the bat because the son goes to the father and says, give me my portion. How many of you ever had children before? How many of you were a child to somebody? Let me ask this question. And you went to your dad or your mom and said, give me what's mine. Some of you come from the age you would get that. Your parents had that thing, you know what I'm saying? Because back then it wasn't like illegal. And their arm would turn so fast and slap you into next week. Some of you still are carrying the root of that. I know you are. The root of being smacked around by your family. Who was raised in a home like that? Give me. You go to your, you know, think about this now. You were going to your family and say, give me. Yeah, okay, I'm going to give you something. So there's dysfunction in this family right from the get-go. That you could think it's all right to go to your dad and say, give me. And let me tell you, that is a root in someone's life right now. The mentality of give me. It is a horrible root in your life. If all you think you're going to sit around and wait on somebody to give you something. That's a wounded soul, I'm going to tell you, because God will give you all that you need. But when you're sitting around just waiting on someone to give, we even have a culture in America of give me, do we not? We do, you know it. Now, there's a big difference between give me and help me, trust me. Everybody in this room will need to stick out their hand and say, can you help me? But not everybody should be saying, give me. Now, here's where the story gets a little weird to me, because when considering the kid didn't lose his teeth, his dad actually gave it to him. Like, what is this man thinking? Now, maybe it was custom. I don't know. But, you know, not anywhere we came from. Maybe he was playing the role of the enabler in this boy's life. Maybe he just couldn't say no to his kids. Anybody here ever had a problem saying no to your children? Probably. They're our kids, I understand. Be careful. Be careful. It came back to haunt this family. But I'm going to tell you what, at least God showed mercy in this story. But it's another story of the root that I want you to see this morning. Another story of the root that you may have, or the root that you may need to get out of your household, whatever. Why? Because God wants you to prosper in 2019. And there are things that will hold you back from prosperity. There are things that will hold you back that God says, if you would get it right in your soul, all this stuff I could do in your life. The problem is your soul is wounded, and if I gave it to you, you'd never be able to keep it. Just like this boy. The Bible says that his dad gave him everything he asked for. Gave it all to him, but he wasn't ready to handle it. Gave it all to him. Verse 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country. Listen, not many days after that, he had already wasted it. This wasn't a long time. It was in a couple days he wasted it. Anybody ever wasted anything before? Say yes. You have. How many of you don't want to waste anything in 2019? How many of you have wasted time, wasted years, wasted money, wasted things in life? You know, I get it. But I say this, I believe 2019 is the year God wants you to prosper, where you don't waste stuff anymore. And let me tell you, when you prosper, we're going to talk about this in the upcoming weeks, when you steward what God gives you, you won't waste anymore. Not only will you not waste it, but you won't have it stolen from you either. The enemy, the rebuking of the devourer is what God said he would do when we steward our stuff right. Listen to me. Verse 13, when you waste, listen, he wasted all of it with prodigal living. Verse 14, but when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Man, there's a whole message in there about be careful, don't blow what you got. You don't know what's coming next. He had no idea a famine was coming, and he spent all of his money. Here we go, verse 15. Then he went and joined himself to citizens of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. Listen to me. When you waste what God gives you, you'll connect yourself with people you're not supposed to be connected with. When you waste what God gives you, you will connect yourself to people you shouldn't be around. How many of you have done that before? Not this year. If you've ever looked around, listen to me, a good test of where you're at in your life is look who's around you. Look who's around you. Who do you surround yourself with? Amen? Listen, verse 16. When he gladly had filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, no one gave him anything. He was so broke feeding pigs that he said, I would rather eat this pig slop right here. He came from his dad's home. Now he's eating the slop. Or wanting to eat the slop. With me? Verse 17, things begin to change. Things begin to change. Listen to me this morning. If you have somebody in your life, let them hit the bottom. Listen to me. Let them hit the bottom. It is a story of the prodigal son. If God took care of this son, he'll take care of your family. He'll take care of your love. You cannot enable them and keep them off the bottom. This dad could have gone running at him and said, oh, okay, let me give you a little bit to get up. And all it does is keeps people up enough so they never have to get down to the root of what's going on in their soul. That is what enabling is. And listen to me, if you play the enabler, you may not receive what God has for you. Because God sees how this happens. So, but I want you to catch what happened. This is where you have to trust in God. You have to trust when he was at the bottom. When he was at the bottom, when he was there with his own life in front of him, all of his mistakes, all of his stuff, he looked at himself, and the Bible said in verse 17, what? He came to himself. Do you hear it? He finally came to himself. Inside of him, listen, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I'm dying over here? Listen to me, as children of God, you do not have to die in a pig slop, I promise you. That's not how God wants you to go out. But until in 2019, this year, these upcoming weeks, you may need to come to yourself again and say, why am I doing this mess? Why am I living this crazy way? I shouldn't be living like this. And I'm not talking about in a prideful, weird way. I'm talking about as a son of the King to look at myself and say, no, this is not what God has for my life. This is not how God has designed me to live. This son came to that conclusion, and I want you to listen to what happened in verse 18. Listen to what he says. I will arise. Somebody say it this morning. I will arise. And let me tell you something. His soul began to prosper right there. That's when his soul began to prosper. When he could say to himself, I got to come out of this. He said to himself, I have got to make a change. And when you and I, listen to me. He prospered in the pig slop. Do you see it? You could say it, he was all good when he got home and got the robe put on him and they had the party, but that's not where it started. It started at the bottom. It started at the bottom when he came to himself. His soul, he finally got to the soul. He was him and nothing else. And he said, I will arise. I will arise. I'm going to tell you, you can come in here and pray, be on your knees to your hole, you can do all that stuff, but until you settle it in your heart that I'm coming out. And let me tell you, I worked in addiction recovery with Teen Challenge, and I've seen it so many times that moms and dads, they would drag their guys in there, and they'd say, we want our son fixed, and we just don't want him to go through this anymore. And I've seen little kids crying because their dad said he was rather do drugs than raise a family. But I'll tell you 100 times, if that man didn't want to change, wasn't nobody going to make him do it. Nothing you could do or say is going to convince somebody until they've reached the bottom in their own soul and say, you know what, I'm going to come out of this. And I want you to know in 2019, you and I, LifePoint Church, what you're going through in your life, when you finally stand up one morning and say, you know what? I'm coming out of this. I'm coming out of this. I'm going to rise up this year. This year's not going to be like 2018. My marriage is not going to struggle like it did in 2018 because I'm going to the class. My finances are not going to struggle like they did in 2018. Why? Because in a few weeks we're going to learn that we can steward our money. We can steward our time. But the first thing we got to steward over is our soul. And I don't know who this message is for this morning, but I'm going to tell you 100%. God wants you to prosper. He wants you to be healthy. And if you could write the list, man, if I made a little board over there and we made a list and you wrote that one thing, man, how many of you got that one thing? How many of you got like 100 things, you know? It don't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you can take the attitude today and say, you know what? I will arise. I will be what God's called me to be. I will do what God has asked me to do. I will come out. He was living in the slop of a pig farm. But he was a son. He was a son. He said, listen to verse 24. His dad knew he was coming. Listen to what he said. For this my son was dead. To the father, the son was as good as what? Dead. Was he dead? No. His soul was dead. Anytime you stick out your hand to somebody and say, give me, just give me what I want, that's a soul problem. You hear what I'm saying? And for the dad to do it shows me he had a problem. Though my son was dead, but what? He is going to what? Live again. He is alive again. He was lost, and now he's found. and they began to be merry. Listen to me, 3 John verse 2. 3 John verse 2, I want to read it to you again. He said, I above all things, I pray that you may prosper. Prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. Amen. 2019, Life Point Church. Our goal, my goal for you, is that your soul prospers this year. And some of us in this room, that's only everybody, we're going to have to make some decisions about some areas of our life. Amen. There's going to have to be some areas of our life we say, you know, not no more. I can't do this anymore. I wasn't designed to live in a pig slop. That's not what God created me for. This year I'm coming out. This year, this past year, I've been surrounding myself with things and people that God doesn't want in my life. This year I'm going to rise up. I'm going to rise up. And we will prosper. Think about what the Bible says about the soul. Think about this, Life Point Church. Think about this as we move into the ministries of missions, outreach, the areas that we're going to focus on this year. What does he say? He who wins souls is wise. That's why I make the comment, when we evangelize to people, when we talk to people, it's got to be a deeper conversation than, hey, you just need to go to church. Because I know people go to church with wounded souls every week. But what we have is the message that says, hey, we know how your soul can be right. We know the thing that thing that's been bothering you, maybe your whole life, God wants to fix that. God wants to make you healthy on the inside. Amen? When you're healthy on the inside, listen to me, you'll prosper on the outside. You'll prosper on the outside. That son, in the middle of that hog pen, he said, I'm going to rise up. It's time. It's time. Amen? It's time for you. It's time for you to live the life that God has designed you for. Amen? Stand to your feet this morning. I'm believing for good report. I want to hear the testimonies. I want to hear the testimonies of what God's doing. I want to hear the testimony. I want to hear. This is what I say. I want it to be a Sunday morning when somebody comes in here screaming and jumping and hollering, and everybody's like, what's wrong with them? And I'll say, here, you take the mic for a minute, because I know what God brought you from. I know what God did. I mean, that's how I was delivered. That was what God did for me. Is I was bound and lost and a mess, a wreck, and God said, I'll take you and change you. He took all that stuff from me that just liberated my life, set me free. He'll do that this morning. He'll do that this morning. What if that one thing in your life, man, that thing that you've battled with, maybe for years, maybe you're like the prodigal parent, maybe it's a child, maybe it's a, I don't know what it is. What if we said 2019 was the year God was going to set it free so you can prosper in every area of your life? That'd be a great year, amen. That's what I'm believing for. Are you believing this morning? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we do pray this morning that you would help us. Help us reach the bottom. Help us get to that place where we can look at ourselves and say, enough is enough. It's time to change. It's time to rise up. It's time to be the son that you've called us to be. It's time to be the daughter that you've called us to be. Lord, I've attached myself to things that what you didn't really mean for me to be with. God, I believe it because I believe people are going to prosper in 2019 in those areas of their life that the enemy's been stealing from. God, have your way, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, God bless you in 2019, Life Point Church. Get yourself ready. Stop by and see the missionary this morning. God bless you. We'll see you back here Wednesday night.